Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, and the basic question that begs to be asked and answered is, who do you want for president? 2020 election is upon us. Who do you want for president? Christianity Today's hit job, hit piece on President Trump by Mark Galley, designed explicitly for the purpose to try to undermine, tear down, and destroy the Christian vote for 2020. You see, ladies and gentlemen, everything in this article, and we're talking about the six major points in the article that Mark Galley basically was condemning and undermining President Donald J. Trump, and everything in it is to try to make the ones that voted, you and I that voted for President Donald J. Trump, is to try to demean and tear down and in some way shame the Christian voters to prevent us from voting for President Trump in 2020. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand some of the other things that we've talked about in relationship to this onerous article by Mark Galley. We've talked about the first three of them, but the fourth thing is, he said President Trump has admitted to immoral actions in his business relationships with women and is proud of these things. Greg, I don't know of anything that is any more onerously contrary to the truth. Now, since President Trump has become president, we've not heard any, quote, admission for anything immoral, ungodly, unholy, illegal, or wrong by President Trump after going into office.
He did not, at least there's not the current outstanding allegation that he had something going on in the Oval Office. And there's not anything that points to his perjury and loss of a law license as Bill Clinton. Now, you got a series of criminal charges that were brought in the indictment, the impeachment indictment against Bill Clinton. Isn't it interesting that this impeachment indictment against Donald Trump includes no specific U.S. code, federal code, no specific violation of law? The idea of obstruction of Congress, that's one of the things Galley hits on, I think. He talks about obstructing Congress, you know. So a subpoena comes in, and Donald Trump decides, you know what, I'm gonna declare exercise executive privilege. By the way, that was done by Obama hundreds and hundreds of times. Was he obstructing? You know, if you go to the courts, are you obstructing? You know, Jonathan Turley hit that nail right on the head, didn't he?
Yes.
In the midst of that hearing, he said, you know, if we're going to call going to the courts an abuse of power, it will be an abuse of power. Congress, it will be your abuse of power.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we see. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the hit piece by Christianity Today, the general editor, chief editor, Mark Galley, and there's attempt to undermine and tear down. It is almost, Greg, I take this very, very, very seriously, because what Galley did under the guise and the pretense of a Christian magazine was no less than Hillary Clinton talking about the basket full of deplorables, called us basket full of deplorables. It's no different than Peter Stroke and saying that he can go to Walmarts in Northern Virginia and smell the Trump voters. It is a demeaning thing, ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place under the guise and the umbrella and the auspices of a Christian so-called magazine to condemn and demean and undermine the Christian vote for 2020. Greg, the other thing, the two things is that Galley brings out, I'd gone through and read his article, and in doing so pulled out about six major points that he stated in relationship to that. And the most elongated one, and I have truncated my statement here, the fifth thing, President Trump's Twitter feed contains an habitual string of lies, slanders, and misstatements that make it a near perfect example of a human being who is morally lost and confused.
You know, sometimes I've looked at Donald Trump's Twitter feed and I thought, my goodness, it really sounds like an eighth or ninth grader there really going off on things. And you go, but I'd say something differently than he does. But that's not impeachable.
Not impeachable.
And matter of fact, when he rips somebody and responds to them in a real jab, you know, part of me cringes a little bit. The other part of me realizes that every single weak-kneed, linguine-spined, quote, Republican rhino, or, you know, they tag themselves sometimes as conservatives, they fail. You know, we had John McCain on stage with Barack Obama. And he complimented Barack Obama when he had an opportunity to identify Barack Obama for the corrupt individual that he was. But he didn't do that. He tried to be a nice guy. Now, I'm not saying John McCain's a conservative. He's gone. I don't want to beat up on him. But every 6 years when it was election time, he played the conservative, and then he went back to supporting the liberals. By the way, the fact that we still have Obamacare – that's the fault of John McCain. Remember, he stepped out. He stepped out in the Senate chamber, and he did his thumb up, and then he rotated his fist and thumb down. It was his thumb in the eye of Donald Trump. Now, that proves to me he was more willing to be offensive to Donald Trump than he was the entire liberal establishment, the entire leftist establishment. And these things that Donald Trump does when he's doing his Twitter, he's punching back. And it's the first time in my life that I've seen a president that's willing to punch back at anything and everything. Sometimes you go, he shouldn't even fight with that. But I am sick and tired of the linguini spine, half-hearted, mealy mouth, weenie approach, because that doesn't work. You know, as believers, we ought to be, you know, as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. And in the midst of this fight, believers out there, you need to know something. This is a battle. This is a war, and this is a war for the very existence of the United States of America.
It's a battle for the soul of America.
Absolutely.
And we find that, Greg, the thing that is so egregious and offensive to me is under the guise of a Christian publication, Mark Galley being the general editor, having already retired, put in his notice of retirement in October of 2019 to take effect January the 20th of 2020. And so this is his swan dive. This is his final stab, if you please, at trying to sway the election for 2020. But when he talks about the and he made the statement there about Donald Trump's Twitter account, habitual string of lies, slander, and misstatements that make it a near perfect example of a human being who is morally lost and confused. And that coming from a Christian magazine, if I were to say something to that, ladies and gentlemen, in relationship to a person that is a professing Christian or otherwise, the whole host of Christian community would be saying, well, as a Christian, you ought to be praying for him, you ought to be trying to uphold him and encourage him to be on the right track. But here's a Christian magazine that's basically trashing the president of the United States of America, saying it's a perfect example of human being who is morally lost and confused. I find that grossly offensive.
What if we applied such a ridiculous standard to Patton, General Patton, in World War II? How would things have turned out? What if we ran him off because he had a nasty mouth? What if we ran him off? How would things have worked? How would history change if every time we had an absolute fighter fighting for America? By the way, this Donald Trump, he is the most America first president
I believe we've ever,
in my lifetime,
in history. In fact, let's go back for a moment, Greg, and this writer, now Christianity Today, with the general editor Mark Galley making the statement, said this is the near perfect example of a human being who is morally lost and confused. Can we apply that to Pete Buttigieg, for example, that's a sodomite that's running for president? Can we apply
that? You
notice
Galley didn't apply it to Buttigieg?
Right.
Again, by the way, that within the household of faith is where judgment ought to begin. Now, the lost world will be the lost world. They'll act like the lost world. And you don't step out there and say, you know, you let them know that's sin, and sin will send you to hell because it's not going to end up in heaven. And if you're redeemed, blood-bought, Bible-saved, then you have a new heart, new life, new bent, new direction, new guidance. Buttigieg, he claims he's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He claims he's a Christian. By the way, I'd like for folks to look to the Corinthians 5 or 7 text. The fellow engaged in the incestuous relationship with his stepmother in the church. The church just loved on him. You know, that's the sloppy agape that we got going on in the Church of America today. All these folks, we need to just wrap our arms around all these people and love on them. Well, we have an actual direct application that we can gain from that 1 Corinthians 5 text. That sin ought not to be in the church. Don't you dare blame your sin on God. Don't you dare say, well, he made me that way.
Yeah, Pete Buttigieg is saying he's made that way, that God created him that way, and he's made the bold statement that if you elect me as president, I'll bring Christianity back to the White House.
Is Galley ever known for having called out the left?
None. That's the whole point.
We got an individual that's claiming some biblical moral authority, and he has used his, let's say, prosecutorial discretion to attack one side. You know, if this man's to be believed, He ought to come up with a list.
Yes.
Now, you go down the Democratic Party plank, every single one of them has raised their hand in support of infanticide. I want to see, hey, Galley, if you've got any kind of spine at all, if you've got any kind of morality in you at all, I'd like for you to systematically identify all those Democrats and their support of infanticide and tell us how moral or immoral that is.
Well, number one, Greg, he's less than authoritative on the scripture. He is a, as I put him in the category, you've heard me say it so many times, loose likes lost liberal. You look at his theological, doctrinal, denominational background, and he is far less than a moderate or a conservative even. He's a rank liberal. And secondly, he is a anti-Trump or a never-Trumper and has been since Trump became president of the United States of America. Greg, the sixth thing is in his article trying to trash President Donald J. Trump, he says President Trump has admittedly done some good things, quote, none of the positive things can outweigh the grossly immoral character. And then he goes on to say, quote, Trump has a bent and broken character and is guilty of gross immorality and ethical incompetence, end quote. That's a hit job. An absolute. Let me read that again. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from the article in Christianity Today by Mark Galley. Let me remind you also, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. I'm talking with one of our sons, Greg Youngblood, and we're dealing with the subject of who do you really want as president? Are you willing to sit back, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian and say, I love Jesus and I want a person in office that's going to protect America, protect our religious liberties and our freedom of speech and our Second Amendment right, and sit back and believe, read and believe the garbage put out by Christianity Today by the pen of Mark Galley. Greg, this he goes on to say, as I stated, its grossly immoral character outweighs his positive things. And, quote, Trump has a bent and broken character and is guilty of gross immorality and ethical incompetence. Ladies and gentlemen, he concludes this article. Mark Galley, Christianity Today, December the 19th issue and article. He closes out this hit job article on President Donald J. Trump with a warning to evangelicals who support Trump. He says this is a warning to all evangelicals that support President Trump. Not to continue to brush off the president's immoral words and behavior in the cause of political expediency, end quote. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's telling. It's very, very telling that, Greg, that was the whole intent of the article.
Absolutely.
To undermine and destroy the moral, ethical values of Christians and saying that you're less than saved, you're less than a Christian, you're less than moral if you vote for President Donald J. Trump in 2020.
He may as well have written a glowing endorsement piece for the Democratic Party.
That's what he was doing.
The glowing endorsement piece for the Democratic Party would be immediately seen through. I mean, every Christian would read that and go, how can you support all of these folks that are for socialism and for infanticide and against America? How could you? So that would be seen through ever so quickly. But when you play to a Christian's morality, their decency, their goodliness, their godliness, if you play to that side and say it would be immoral of you to go and vote for this wicked wretch, then some of those individuals will go, oh, I need to stay home, or I need to vote third party. I'm hearing some of these Christians, I'm just going to vote third party. Well, you may as well, if you're of that ilk, just go ahead and punch the ballot for the liberal, because that's what you're doing.
That's the upside-down stupidity that put Obama in office. We had Mitt Romney, a Mormon, that was running against Obama, and his some had some buttons out there that said, I'd rather vote for the Mormon than the moron on the campaign schedule. And multitudes of Christians said, well, you know, Romney is a Mormon, therefore I can't vote for him. I'm going to vote for Obama.
It's a purity test.
Yes.
And you apply this out of balance, out of kilter, nonsensical purity test. That's why I beg the question, all you never Trumpers, who passes your purity test? You know, I had some moron the other day say, well, Justin Amash, he's a great guy. And you go, hold on a second. Justin Amash ain't running for president. Libertarians are hating on Trump right now.
That's right.
Libertarians, real libertarians that I know, they recognize what Donald Trump has done good for this country. They also recognize the Libertarian Party candidate will do one thing. They will strip votes away from whoever the conservative is, whoever the Republican is. They know that. All right. So most of those Libertarians, they'll caucus with the Republicans because most of them are smart enough to realize that's the only smart thing they can do. Now, you step back in time, 1992, we had that billionaire tycoon from Texas, Ross Perot. Man, I tell you what, I like what Ross Perot had to say. And 19 million other people like what Ross Perot had to say. Guess what that got us? It got us 8 years of Slick Willie because the vote was split. It was about 40 million votes for George H.W. Bush, and it was about 45 million votes for Slick Willie. But then you had that other 19 million whatever votes that was Ross. Do you think those 19 million were going to go out there and punch the ballot for Slick Willie? Not most of them. Mm-hmm. So literally Ross Perot, again, I like some of the things he had to say, but he was unelectable. And he got the most votes of any third-party candidate going on, you know, percentage-wise, going all the way back to when we had the Whig Party, okay?
Right.
Literally, and of course the Republicans became the third the third party in that case. However, he's the only one in my lifetime that you've seen any real – but he was a billionaire. Justin Amash, guess what? We knew Ross Perot, and Justin Amash, you are no Ross Perot. You may get, like some of these candidates, 40, 50, 60, you may get a couple hundred thousand votes nationally. Here's the danger. You have precinct by precinct, city by city, state by state, elections are won or lost by 10, 15, 20 votes, sometimes 100 votes. 1971, going for the Virginia House of Delegates, there was a zero margin. It was an even vote count on each side. That makes these Democrats, they're cheating. They challenge every single voter ID law. They don't want voter IDs. They don't want required voter IDs. They want illegals flooding into the United States. Why? Because it only takes a little bit of cheating to win an election. Mm-hmm. And your cheating is enhanced when you can get a third party candidate, let's say a libertarian, because I find myself very libertarian in much of my political analysis. I think our founding fathers had a lot of libertarian in them, all right? However, that libertarian steps in and they siphon off a few hundred thousand votes, and we end up with a Bernie Sanders. Now tell me, you libertarian out there, that you hate Donald Trump, because there are a few of you out there. You hate Donald Trump. Would you rather have Bernie Sanders? Can this nation survive?
It's an impossibility.
Pocahontas or Bernie Sanders
it
for 4 years
running?
Now, it's often been said you can vote yourself into socialism, but you'll have to shoot your way out.
That's exactly
it, for any of you nutcases out there that think that this is something, oh, we can tolerate it, we can bear it, we can put up with it for 4 years or 8 years. Those folks in Venezuela, when they voted for Hugo Chavez, they had no earthly idea they'd never recover. They had no earthly idea that they'd die of starvation. They had no earthly idea that they'd be shot, that they'd be run over by government officials. They had no earthly idea that they'd stand in bread lines for no bread. They had no earthly idea when the gas was being bought for 14 and 16 cents. And they loved Hugo Chavez. They had no earthly idea that a decade later they wouldn't be able to get any gas. They had no earthly idea. They'll literally, today, they can't shoot their way out, by the way. Their guns were taken away. What in the heck is going on in Virginia? Listen, that nut bar up there is going to start World War III.
Yes.
he is literally stirring the pot. That's the crap that you're going to get. You're going to get that junk across the United States if you open Pandora's box. You keep running these third. You know, I want a third party candidate. I'm smart enough to actually want one. I want a Green Party candidate. I want Jill Stein to run the Green Party. I want, what's his name? Al Gore. Oh, my goodness. Al Gore, if you're hearing this, I want you to run. I really think you could win. Okay, not really. I think you could peel off a bunch of those Bernie Sanders votes, a bunch of those Pocahontas votes. That's what's going to happen. In the last election, I think we had 27 presidential candidates.
Well, I've said, Greg, that I believe that between now and March of 2020 that Hillary Clinton will jump in the race. But here's something that's telling, Greg. Here's an article that says Christianity Today is not the Billy Graham's Christianity Today. The editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, Mark Galley, got applause from the world and only one way of regressive Christian publication can. The trashing of President Trump, who is unabashedly pro-life, unabashedly supporter of religious liberty, an unabashed nominator of pro-constitutional judges, and an unabashed supporter of Israel.
CNN, listen, CNN ran with this, as soon as this Christianity Today galley piece. CNN was all over it like white on rice, like fleas on a dog's back. MSNBC, fake news, well, CNN too. They were all over this. When's the last time they picked up a conservative article out of Pulpit and Pen and said, hey, let's run with this. Let's talk all about this. It doesn't happen.
They don't.
It doesn't happen.
In fact, Greg, he says this is another one of the statements that Galley made. Loyalty to the creator of the Ten Commandments requires us, Galley says, to flatly insist that Trump should be impeached and removed from office.
See, that means if you don't support impeachment, you're just immoral.
That's the whole point.
You must not be a Christian.
This article further says CT, that's Christianity Today, long ago abandoned Billy Graham's rock-ribbed allegiance to the inerrancy of Scripture and an all-in-all today with the social justice movement. In fact, the social justice movement is what you could literally call Christianity Today. It is a social justice rag today that's pushing social justice over anything that would be called constitutional liberties and the fundamentals of our belief as Christians in America.
They've embraced cultural Marxism.
Yes, absolutely.
Y'all out there, listen to that terminology. Think about the breakdown. Cultural Marxism. Under Marxism, it's from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. Now, we apply that to the culture, and all of a sudden, we identify a group, a subset of society, a minority group, and all of a sudden say, by virtue of the fact that you're a minority group, by virtue of the fact that you're this minority group, you're automatically been disparaged in some fashion, been harmed in some fashion. I don't care if you went to an Ivy League school and you're pulling down a six-figure salary and you got a platinum parachute at the end of the road for you. Oh, you happen to be black, and there was black slavery. Well, there was white slavery, too. As a matter of fact, more white slaves were dragged back to North Africa than black slaves were dragged to the 13 colonies. I don't know if people know that. Nonetheless, this cultural Marxism says by virtue of the fact that your skin is dark, you're a victim. And by virtue of the fact that your skin is white, you're an assailant. You're a bad person. That's cultural Marxism. And then automatically, because your skin is white, you owe something to a person whose skin is dark. And that literally builds the animosity within the culture. It stirs the pot. All these leftists, they're calling for reparations. One of the morons called for reparations for illegal immigrants today. Wanted to pay out to so folks that come here illegally are not here by virtue of the fact that they filed the papers and went through the steps. They just ran across the border. Somehow or another, their skin has pigmentation to it.
Mm-hmm.
So under cultural Marxism, they're a victim. And under the Democratic Party, we ought to write them a check. This in a nation where we're $23 trillion in debt, this is supposed to be a racist nation, according to these leftists. But we elected a black man twice to be the president of the United States, but we're supposed to be racist. These people want to divide and wrench this nation apart. There is hatred, there is disdain for this country, and wherever they can shove in that little clam shucker, that's where they're doing it, and pry us apart.
That's exactly, Greg, the illustration that could be best used for this Christianity Today's article. And I like what James Dobson says, Dr. James Dobson. Dobson to Christianity Today. This is a headline of an article. Who do you really want as president? The article states, when Christianity Today magazine said in an editorial this week that President Trump should be removed from office, it stirred some strong feelings and pointed questions, like who those editors in the office would want to be put in office as president. Someone who is passionately pro-abortion? One of the first reactions that came from Franklin Graham, for example, which was Billy Graham's son. After all, his father founded the magazine cited Billy Graham in its attack on President Trump. He revealed that his father, probably the world's most famous Christian evangelist, voted for President Donald J. Trump before his death. Yep. He revealed that his father had voted for the president. But one of the most pointed comments came from James Dobson, the founder of James Dobson Family Institute and Family Talk. He charged, and I quote, I have read a new editorial published in Christianity Today that promotes impeachment of President Trump. The editors didn't tell us who should take the place in the aftermath, end quote. He continued, Maybe the magazine would prefer a president who is passionately pro-abortion, or a president who is anti-family, or a president who is hostile to military. Perhaps they would prefer a president that is dispassionate towards Israel. Perhaps they would prefer a president that supports socialism in the form of government. Perhaps they want a president that promotes confiscatory taxation, opposed to school choice, favors men in women's bathrooms and sports, and boys in girls' locker rooms. Perhaps they want a president that promotes the LGBTQ agenda, opposing parental rights and distrust evangelists and anyone who is not politically correct, end quote. I don't think that could have been stated any more succinctly and correctly. And the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, who do you want as president? One that's pro-abortion, anti-family, anti-military, anti-Israel, pro-secularism, high taxation, pro-anti-school choice, pro-LGBTQ. Perhaps you want a president, ladies and gentlemen, as this writer says, that promotes boys going into girls' bathrooms and those that oppose parental rights, anti-God, opposes prayer in the classroom and Jesus' name, pro-Islamic invasion. And I could go on and on and on, Greg. And that's what we have the choice of, ladies and gentlemen. Who do you want for president? You want one that's going to stand for the Constitution, stand for our Bill of Rights, that's going to stand for Israel, that's going to stand for truth, and going to stand for what we need to do to support the protect the borders of America? Greg, I am just astounded, astonished, and absolutely dismayed that anything under the title of Christian, like a magazine, Christianity Today, would write such. In fact, here's this Beth Moore, that
help
is a wannabe preacher, a wannabe president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Beth Moore has jumped on it. Beth Moore said in a response to Christianity Today's attack on Trump, quote, "My hat's off to you, Mark Galley, with deep respect. I am astounded by, and yet I should not be, Greg, that somebody like Beth Moore is now applauding Christianity Today and Mark Galley's undermining of President Trump."
She's almost as ignorant politically as she is ignorant biblically.
Absolutely.
You know, for anybody out there that has any doubts, the United States is still the greatest nation on God's green earth. We've been blessed immensely for 240 years. You know, it's been said before, if you don't like America, pick
move.
A better country.
That's
yeah,
right.
Move. Pick a better country. If you're going to say you want Donald Trump removed, you need to explain who you're going
to
replace him
who
with. Now these folks that hate Donald Trump for his immorality, they also hate Pence for his morality.
Yes.
So it's a lie. It's a farce. These folks, I dare you, never Trumpers, name a candidate. Pick one that passes your purity test. I'll show you right now, here and now, you're a liar. You're a fraud.
Yes, absolutely. And Greg, in our last 30 seconds, here's this reverend, as they call him, Al Sharpton,
huh,
says evangelical Trump supporters would sell out Jesus, and Christianity Today is correct that they are right in that article.
Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am so delighted that you joined us today. I pray that it's been a challenge to you. And this subject can go on and on and on. Now, simply suffice it to say, we need to stand for the president that God has put in office that's defending our country, defending America and our borders. Thank you for joining in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as we face the issue.
University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.